are.
Live from the Radio Catskill Studios in Liberty, New York, this is Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno. On today's show, May is Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month. A local Korean-owned farm and brewery is blending tradition with innovation, bringing authentic Korean culinary techniques to the scenic Never Sink River. Radio Catskill's Kimberly Izar has more about the significance of preserving Korean food traditions in the heart of the Catskills. Step Up for Ukraine, a walk to support the people of Ukraine. Every step you take can make a difference. We chat with Roger Brinkeroff, one of the organizers, and learn how you can help provide life-saving medical aid to those in need. Plus, events in the community, the Mamakating Environmental Education Center's spring season. Sandy Levins from the Greater Honesdale Partnership about how downtown is buzzing with energy and the whimsical world of Honesdale artist Jeff George. First, the news.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Corva Coleman. Stocks opened higher this morning ahead of President Trump announcing a new trade pact with the United Kingdom. NPR's Scott Horsley reports the Dow Jones Industrial Average rose about 200 points in early trading.
The UK is the first country to strike a trade deal with the Trump administration since the president announced his worldwide tariffs just over a month ago. The two countries have a relatively balanced trading relationship. U.S. exports to the UK, such as crude oil, slightly outweigh imports, including scotch and gin. The Bank of England cut its benchmark interest rate today by a quarter percentage point. The move comes a day after the U.S. Central Bank voted to hold interest rates steady. Central bankers in both countries pointed to the economic risk raised by President Trump's trade war. Trump fired back on social media, calling Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell a fool for not moving more quickly to lower borrowing costs. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
Russian President Vladimir Putin is hosting Chinese leader Xi Jinping for talks at the Kremlin today. They're attending events marking the 80th anniversary of the end of World War II. NPR's Charles Maines reports from Moscow the two are highlighting a no-limits partnership between their countries.
In a lavish ceremony at the Kremlin, Putin and Xi extolled their close relations in the face of what the Chinese leader said was external bullying, an apparent reference to the United States. In turn, Putin paid tribute to the sacrifice of Soviet and Chinese people in World War II and said the two were again united in the fight against neo-Nazism, how Putin falsely portrays his current war in Ukraine. While formally neutral on the Ukraine issue, China has provided Russia with diplomatic and economic cover. The presence of Chinese troops in a military parade on Red Square this Friday will only reinforce a view among critics that Beijing chose sides in the conflict long ago. Charles Maines, NPR News, Moscow.
Roman Catholic cardinals are meeting again in the Vatican's Sistine Chapel to choose a new pope. They've twice sent up black smoke from the chapel's chimney. That indicates they haven't chosen one yet. NPR's Sarah Ventry reports crowds are filling St. Peter's Square in anticipation.
Thousands of people are milling around St. Peter's Square right now. You can hear people speaking in all different languages. There are tour groups, there are clergy, pilgrims, curious onlookers, just people from all over the world who are really excited to see what's going to happen and to find out who the next pope is going to be.
NPR's Sarah Ventry at the Vatican. One of the onlookers in St. Peter's Square is Isabel Lammers. She's from Chicago. She has hope for the cardinal's choice.
We're just so divided as a world, so it would be nice to just have someone with a lot of love.
The Roman Catholic cardinals have more opportunities today to select the next pontiff. On Wall Street, the Dow is now up 226 points. This is NPR. U.S. District Judge Paul Azzini's has continued to demand that the U.S. Justice Department keep her informed about its efforts to facilitate the return of Kilmer Abrego Garcia. The immigrant was illegally deported to El Salvador in March. Now, the Trump administration has invoked the state secrets privilege in response to Zini's demand. The judge has ordered the Trump administration that it has until next Monday to present its case for protecting sensitive national security information. President Trump has changed his pick for U.S. Surgeon General. NPR's Will Stone reports he now wants a physician and author in that post.
Trump had previously picked Fox News contributor Dr. Jeanette Neshwat, but has now pivoted after questions emerged about her medical credentials. His new pick, Dr. Casey Means, gained popularity after publishing a bestseller on metabolic health. The co-author of her book is her brother, Callie Means, who's an advisor to Secretary of Health Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Casey Means attended Stanford Medical School and went on to train as a surgeon, but ultimately dropped out of her residency program before finishing it because of what she described as her frustrations with mainstream medicine. She went on to co-found the biotech and wellness company Levels, which offers continuous glucose monitoring devices to consumers. Will Stone, NPR News.
Philanthropist Bill Gates has announced he will donate almost all his wealth to the Gates Foundation. He's targeting global health and education, but it will be over a certain amount of time. He says the Gates Foundation will close its doors in 2045. A note, the Gates Foundation is a financial supporter of NPR. This is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include BetterHelp, committed to helping clients with issues ranging from relationship challenges and goal setting to grief and depression. Learn more at betterhelp.com/public. This is NPR.
Welcome back to Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno. Thanks for joining us. May is Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month, a time to celebrate the rich contributions and culture of AAPI communities nationally and locally here in the Catskills. In Orange County, a Korean-owned farm and brewery is bringing traditional Korean culinary techniques to the Neversink River, a popular fishing site for fly fishing enthusiasts. Radio Catskills' Kimberly Izar spoke to the owner of New York Makgeolli Brewery and Pub, Rosalind Kim, about the importance of preserving Korean food traditions here in the Catskills.
Just steps from the Neversink River in Orange County, the sound and smell of sizzling eel fill a restaurant's kitchen. Rosalind Kim moves through the kitchen with ease and focus as she prepares her signature dish, janggeogi, or grilled eel in Korean.
When my customer order the eel, I put the bean paste sauce, doenjang, and then pepper and the garlic.
Kim is preparing banchan, or small side dishes that are often served like with Korean side. Main dishes.
Yeah, on the side.
Banchan can be small plates of vegetables, like sauteed greens, kimchi, or shredded potato. Kim and her husband, Juho Kim, are the owners of New York Makgeolli Brewery and Pub. It's a small Korean restaurant and brewery just off Route 209 in Godfrey. The two originally moved to Wurzburg, New York, more than 30 years ago, from Seoul and Busan, Korea, to open a bed and breakfast before opening her restaurant in Godfrey. Kim said she didn't really know how to cook until she met her husband.
Actually, I cook it after marriage. I didn't really know how to.
Until you were married.
Yeah. And then we have always people keep coming and go and coming and go. Yeah. So I always have to, you know, feed them. So that is starting my restaurant. Yeah. That's how I started my restaurant.
Learning to fish and cook eel in the Catskills was a new challenge for both of them.
First time we didn't catch much because the eel is very sneaky. So it goes out. Even though you catch it, it goes out very fast. So we all the time, we all the time missing it a lot. But year by year, we know how to do it.
Kim's restaurant is a rare gem for Korean cuisine in the Catskills since there aren't too many Korean businesses in the area. The most important thing to Kim is making sure Korean food feels accessible to her customers.
So whenever I serving the Korean food, I am serving it like my family. I am feeding it to my family.
She likes to keep her menu simple to preserve the fresh and natural ingredients of the region.
My menu is more original taste to it, not too much seasoning to it. Just like a plain freshness and texture.
The grilled eel is fresh, crispy, but rich, soft, and so savory. Kim uses traditional Korean techniques like using natural pine leaves to clean the fish and grilling them fresh. She serves other menu items like baksuk, a Korean chicken soup with jujube and sweet rice. But what makes Kim's restaurant especially unique is that it's also a brewery. Rajalin and Juho Kim brew makgeolli right here in Orange County. Makgeolli is a traditional Korean rice wine with a history that can be traced back thousands of years. It has a milky, slightly sparkling taste to it that, according to Kim,
has a lot of complexity of taste to it. Sour, a little bit of the sweetness and bitterness.
The key ingredient in makgeolli is called nuruk, which helps break down the rice starch into fermentable sugar. Similar to wine, the flavor complexity of makgeolli evolves with time.
Today, makgeolli taste is different from next week today.
And that means that each season, the drink can taste different.
Spring, summer, fall, winter taste to it. So spring like a freshness. Summer has more carbonation. And then fall, you have a more deep taste to it. And then winter has a little bit bitter taste to it.
Ooh.
And then more stronger with the alcohol taste to it.
The location of Kim's restaurant is also special. The Neversink River is a 55-mile stream of the Delaware River. It's often called one of the birthplaces of fly fishing, a popular fishing activity in the Catskills. Eel and trout are just some of the diverse fish you can find along the Neversink River. Kim says she's one of just a few businesses with a commercial fishing license for the Neversink River. She's grateful for the license, but says running a farm-to-table business is a lot of work. Kim said it takes a village to keep the restaurant running.
안녕하세요. 나 여기 장어 때문에 잠깐 갔다 오려고.
Kim is chatting with a friend who's there to help her and her husband construct a new fishing trap. She and I walk down to the river where Kim shows me the fish trap she and her friends build every summer.
And over here, so you're coming into this way. And then we making a trap here. Mm-hmm. And then eel coming down to the trap. So every year we have to put the rack in.
Yeah.
And after finish, after a few months, we take it out. Cleanse it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Back at the restaurant, a young couple wraps up their meals. They've traveled all the way to the Catskills from New Jersey for lunch. They say it's hard to find Korean eel as fresh as the one they've had at Kim's restaurant. Kim says she hopes that through her Korean home cooking, she can give people a dining experience they'll never forget.
When they having a Korean food, I want it to be enjoyable to them. So when I cook, I want to give them a good dining experience. When I cooking, I am thinking about only that one.
Yeah.
In Godefroy, I'm Kimberly Izar for Radio Catskill.
Thanks to Kim for that. We'll take a break, and when we come back, the Step Up for Ukraine Walk. It's an effort to help provide life-saving medical aid to those in need. We'll learn more after a break. This is Radio Catskill.
Hey, Donna Fellenberg here. Please join me and my guest, blues guitarist and naturalist Scott Weiss, this week on Catskill Character. We talk about his farming family in New Jersey, the House of Music recording studio, touring with his band, the Scott Weiss Band, hiking the long path, and so much more. So don't miss Catskill Character, Saturday at 10:30 on Radio Catskill.
I'm Maria Hinojosa, this week on Latino USA. The fight to defend the legal status of Venezuelans in the United States.
I felt that all these years of advocacy were just prep time for this.
That's this week on Latino USA.
Thursday afternoon at 1 on Radio Catskill.
You're listening to Radio Catskill. I'm Tim Bruno. Saturday, the Step Up for Ukraine fundraising walk is taking place in Bingham Park in Hawley, Pennsylvania, to show support for the people of Ukraine, both here locally and those still in their homeland. All proceeds will benefit the Ukrainian National Women's League of America, which will use the funds to provide life-saving medical equipment to Ukraine. We're joined today by Roger Brinkerhoff, one of the organizers of the event, to tell us more about how the walk came together, what you could expect, and how you can get involved. Good morning, Roger.
Good morning to you, Tim. I want to say first, on behalf of my fellow group members and myself, we thank you for the opportunity to give us some additional exposure here for this cause.
Yeah, of course. Can you tell us, starting out, what inspired this idea for the Step Up for Ukraine fundraising walk?
What inspired the idea? I guess just the reports that all of us were hearing, and some of us that know some Ukrainian people who still have family there, and how difficult, to say the least, life is there. So we thought there must be something that we can do. And I don't remember who it was suggested. They have these field ultrasound machines that we think we're going to be able to afford to get three of those to provide battlefield equipment that will help to save lives.
I mentioned in the introduction that the walk is raising money for life-saving medical equipment through the Ukrainian National Women's League of America to purchase the equipment. Why do you think that it's so important for the community of folks, not just folks like yourself, but the Ukrainian community locally, too, to help in this way?
Well, I think it's just part of the sort of the whole feeling of our society these days, where a lot of people are driven to get a little bit more out of themselves and to be a little bit more, maybe a lot more generous to other people who are in less fortunate situations. I think it's just bringing us together as a community to have this joint focus.
And the walk is Saturday at 11 at Bingham Park in Hawley. There's a unique approach to this, measuring distance in steps instead of kilometers or miles. How does that make it more accessible to people of all fitness levels?
Yeah, exactly that. People of all fitness levels, because I think it can be a little daunting if we're thinking in terms of kilometers or miles, but almost everybody has something on their phone, you know, that will, like a Fitbit, I think it's called, where you can calibrate your steps. And so we're just thinking, if everybody's going to have a phone and they can count their steps, or we can count your steps for you, it just seems a little more contemporary and a little, again, less intimidating for people that are not in, you know, 10K condition.
Also, a great way for folks to get involved is another unique option or feature here, a virtual participation option. How does that work? What role do virtual participants play in the overall event?
Well, you can either walk, or you can get a sponsor, or, you know, many people are just donating online. And I'm really proud of what we've done so far. Our original goal, we thought, well, maybe we can come up with $3,000. And then we did that. And then we thought maybe we can come up with $5,000. And we surpassed that. And then it was $8,000. And we surpassed that. And we're now going for $11,400, which will be just enough to get us three of those ultrasound machines.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Hasn't even happened yet.
It hasn't happened yet. That's amazing
that much
so
to
far.
Provide.
Well, you're already building some awareness and the sense of community even before the walk starts. At the walk, there will be vendors and musicians and speakers. Can you give us a preview of some of those folks? And is it sort of some of Ukrainian culture, too, there?
Yes, there will be one speaker that's scheduled, Nadia, and I'm going to spell her last name, R-A-J-S-G. Maybe some people know her. She's a legislator in Sullivan County, and she's very enthusiastic about speaking to our people there about life in Ukraine. She has family there. She's very aware of what's going on, and she's willing to drive quite a distance to come and address us. And then I think sort of true to the WJFF spirit, we're going to have some musicians scheduled, but there will be a sound system, a band shell, and we're asking people, bring your instrument if you want to come, and we'll do some jamming there.
Oh, fun. That's Nadia Reich, who's the chair of the Sullivan County Legislature, who we've spoken to.
That's right, spoken Reich. Good, right. You can say it.
Well, we've spoken to her over the years, too, in her capacity as a legislator and also as a Ukrainian-American, and she feels passionately about this, so she'll be participating. How can folks get involved?
This is a test of the Sullivan County Emergency Alert System. In the event of an actual emergency, this system would bring you important information. This test of the Emergency Alert System is now concluded.
That is a randomized test. We don't control that. So good to know that that's still working for folks in case of emergency. Roger, we were interrupted there for a second. I was asking if folks want to get involved, how could they get involved to participate either in person or virtually or just come out and enjoy the day?
Well, there is that. You can just show up. And remember, it's Mother's Day weekend. So we're encouraging people to bring their mothers. And I think it'll be a lot of fun, or a more high-tech strategy. Text the phrase support Ukraine to 33100, and it will give you all of this information, and you can donate in that way as well.
And before we go, I just, what message would you like to share with folks, especially about getting involved, no matter, you know, how big or small you may be able to involve yourself here in supporting people of Ukraine? You know, it's VE Day. We're remembering that in Europe, it's particularly somber in Ukraine as Russia seems to be very proud about their role there, and yet the war continues. What is it that you want folks to know about how they can support?
Well, I think the big picture, as I inferred a little earlier, is just whatever issue, especially this, we're really promoting this as a humanitarian issue, not a political issue, not a partisan issue. But what can we do to help is what we're doing with Ukraine. And everybody may want to join us. They've got their own interests. They might promote fundraisers of their own. They might, you know, make your voice heard, basically.
Yeah. Roger Brinkerhoff, one of the organizers of Step Up for Ukraine, the fundraising walk happening Saturday at Bingham Park in Hawley. Proceeds benefit the Ukrainian National Women's League of America, and they're on track to provide three pieces of life-saving medical equipment. Could be more if more folks participate. Roger, thank you so much.
I thank you so much, Tim.
All right, we'll take a break. And when we come back, we'll find out about some of the spring events happening at the Mamikating Environmental Education Center, some hands-on nature fun for the whole family. This is Radio Chatskill.
Support comes from Sullivan 180, building healthy communities through people, places, and policy one degree at a time. More information at sullivan180.org. From The River Reporter, the community newspaper covering four counties in Pennsylvania and New York along the Upper Delaware River, riverreporter.com. And from listeners like you, who donate at wjffradio.org.
This week in This American Life, fear of sleep. An apartment with so many cockroaches that in the middle of the night, they crawl into the family's ears. A woman whose husband tries to strangle her in his sleep, while he is actually asleep. After that, it's hard to go to bed without worrying. And other stories of people scared to fall asleep this week.
This American Life, Saturday night at 6 on Radio Catskill.
You're listening to Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno. Well, whether you're curious about native plants, want to meet a live hawk, or feel like building a fairy house in the woods, the Mamikating Environmental Education Center has you covered this spring. Joining us today is Jackie Lukowski-Broder, the director of the Mamikating Environmental Education Center, to tell us about their upcoming events and how they're helping people of all ages connect with nature in our community. Jackie, good morning.
Good morning, Tim. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, let's tell folks about the mission of the Mamikating Environmental Education Center.
Sure. So our mission is to support environmental education and stewardship and an appreciation of local history. And we do that through fostering environmental awareness and responsible action through hands-on exploration and adventure.
And Jackie, that hands-on part is important. What do you think of why is that important for education, especially for families and young children?
I think hands-on is critical. You know, people are in front of screens all the time, book learning. I was never a book learner. You know, I needed to be out and touching things and experiencing things with all my senses. And especially with nature, like You can watch National Geographic all you want, and I love it, but you really need to be immersed in it to get the real effects of everything that nature gives you.
It sounds like you found the perfect job.
Yeah, I really did.
Let's talk about some of the May events coming up at the Environmental Education Center, the Spring Fling and Raven's Beard event. That's a live bird show. What can folks expect with that one?
Yeah, well, that one happened last Saturday.
Oh, sorry, I missed it. Sorry, I'm behind here.
No, that's okay. That's okay. But it was great. Yeah, so Raven's Beard Wildlife Education Wildlife Rehabilitation Center does amazing work. They are primarily a rehab center, but they do live shows to raise money. But we do that every year. The Bashiquil Area Association sponsors it. Meek has supported them in the past as well, and mm-hmm. you can look forward to that every year.
All right. Did I miss the frog walk?
Nope. That's okay. This Friday.
Right. Now, tell us about that. Do I need my own frog?
You do not need your own frog. We provide the frogs, hopefully.
It's an evening frog walk on Friday. This sounds like a real adventure. What can folks expect from this?
Yeah, so if you come to Meek at 7 p.m., Pam Goldman, our lead educator, she has over 30 years of environmental education experience. She's an amazing wealth of information. She gives us a small talk about frogs, including showing you, you know, what to listen for as well as what to look for. And then we go down to the Bashiquil and we look for frogs and they come out at night mostly, and we always come up with something, so it's a great time.
What is it that folks learn about frogs and toads in this experience?
They learn about their habitat, their mating practices, which has been going on since March, and what they need to survive, the fact that they're an indicator species, which, you know, means that if you have a lot of frogs and salamanders, then you have a healthy environment, which we do here at the Bashiquil.
Speaking of healthy environments, this is a fun one. Weird organisms, carnivorous and parasitic plants. Now, that may sound a little creepy, but that's also important to environment. Talk a little bit about
Absolutely.
That one. Yeah.
So Kate Marchetto, who has a PhD in biology, has been doing this series, which has been amazing. So it's this week is carnivorous and parasitic plants, from insect death tramps to shrew toilets. So, there's always interesting something interesting with her, and she's a great presenter. That's a really fun one, and that's Saturday morning at 10.
And this sounds like a fun one for kids and families. The Fairy House Festival. This has become popular, I assume. And what inspired this event? What's it about making it so special for kids and families?
This was our most popular event last year. We had over 200 people. You can come dressed as a fairy or not, but people come, go into our woods and build fairy houses from all natural materials. No man-made stuff allowed, except for maybe some jute string. And it was such a magical event last year, just to see kids with their parents playing in the woods, you know, romping around the woods. We had a musician, Debbie Palmerini, who played a glass xylophone, and she's coming back this year. She had instruments for kids, so there was music. We have crafts. We have face painting. But the best part was just the kids playing in the woods and just enjoying it. And the whole, you know, mystical, magical part of it just made it all that much better.
Well, I was going to say, like, although you're not, talking to frogs or touching carnivorous plants, you know, being in the forest there in this environment has to be an enriching experience and educational for kids, too, even though they're dressing up and having a little fantasy fun there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Digging in the dirt is key to brain development, I believe. And the most special part is Crystal Connection from Wardsboro last year provided crystals for everybody to decorate their houses with, and they'll be back this year too.
You can learn about nature no matter how you're dressed. That's
right.
Important. There's also an introduction to camping workshop coming up too. Tell us about that one.
Yes. So Tom Smith, who is also a local outdoor educator, over 30 years experience. He is going to teach anybody who's had any interest in camping, anything you ever needed to know, from car camping to backpacking, how to build a fire, equipment you need. He's really knowledgeable and he's fun.
All right. Where can folks get more information about all these events? And are there any age or gear requirements for specific programs?
No. Most of our events are geared toward people of all ages. If it's not, you know, sometimes it's like pure lecture, so we warn you, you know, ahead if it's not, you know, if we think young children can't sit through it. Can I just mention two events that had to be postponed that are coming
sure,
up?
Oh, sure.
Okay, so the Bashakill Cleanup, which is an annual event by the Bashakill Area Association, but we help sponsor, is happening Sunday, May 18th. We had to postpone that because of weather last couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. That is from 9:30 to 12. We give you a free lunch, and everybody's welcome. You don't have to be a BKA member, families, scouts, clubs. And right after that, at 12:30, we're having our kayak rental grand opening. We have a self-serve kayak rental lockers right here on the Meek property. It's a joint effort between the town of Mamikating and the Friends of Meek. It's just you download an app, and everything comes with the kayak, the paddle, the life preserver, straps, and pads for your car. Just bring it down to the boat launch, and if you don't want to carry your kayak around or you want to try it out without buying the equipment, this is a great opportunity for that. And it's $30 for 2 hours and $10 an hour after, which I think is a great, great deal.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
And again, let's give folks that website address and where they can get the information.
So friendsofmeek.org, or call me at 845-644-5014.
And MEEC stands for Mamikating Environmental Education Center. We've been talking to Jackie Lukowski-Broder, the director. Thank you so much, Jackie, and I'll let you get back to going out and touching nature.
Thank you so much, Tim.
All right. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll learn more about some downtown events in Honesdale, including, get this, a mac and cheese crawl. Hold on. This is Radio Catskill.
Whether Radio Catskill brings a smile to your day, some inspiration, or a greater connection to the Catskills and Northeast PA, we're proud to be here with you. Federal funding, about $1.60 per person annually, helps keep these trusted services strong and accessible to everyone in our community. Learn how you can safeguard local public media stations like ours by visiting protectmypublicmedia.org.
I'm Ira Flatow. On Science Friday, we wonder about the secrets of nature and meet the scientists finding the keys to the universe, like black hole maven Jan 11.
I think it's really important as a scientist not to put a belief system first. The whole point is to explore the unknown.
Come explore with us. It's all on Science Friday from WNYC Studios. Fridays, 2 to 4 p.m. on Radio Catskill.
Support comes from Sullivan Allies Leading Together, committed to ensuring the safety of our community. Protect those most important by keeping medications in a secure space. Be a part of the solution. More at saltcares.com.
You're listening to Radio Catskill. I'm Tim Bruno. Joining us now, Sandy Levins, Executive Director of the Greater Honesdale Partnership, to talk about some of the community events and downtown revitalization happening there, from creative events like Third Thursdays to a mac and cheese crawl to the upcoming Girls Night Out on May 15th. The partnership is helping bring some new energy to Honesdale. Sandy, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you, Tim. Thank you.
I've got lots of questions about this mac and cheese crawl, but first, let's give listeners a quick overview of the partnership and your mission to serve the Honesdale community.
Absolutely, yeah. Greater Honesdale Partnership, we have a couple different missions. So we have two parts. One is economic vitality for town, promoting the businesses, bringing people into town, keeping Honesdale's downtown as an active, vibrant community. And with that comes revitalization. So we're looking at upgrading the sidewalks, sidewalks and doing a full streetscape and new lighting and pedestrian crossing safety is a big feature of that project. And also we're building a promenade on...
Whoops, we lost Sandy there. Let's take a quick break and we'll get back to her about more that's going on in Honesdale. You're listening to Radio Catskill.
I'm Mimi Bradley, Radio Catskills Development Manager, reminding you that a great way to keep public radio here in the Catskills in Northeast Pennsylvania is by becoming a Sound Supporter. Sound Supporters give small amounts, $20, $30, $50 a month or more, that add up to a big help. Plus, Sound Supporters get special thank yous, like drawings for tickets to events in our community throughout the year. Become a Sound Supporter. Go to WJFFradio.org.
All right, you're back with Radio Catskill, and I think we've got Sandy back. Hi, Sandy.
Sorry, thank you.
No worries. Yes. We were talking about the mission of the Greater Honesdale Partnership before we lost you there. Tell us
okay.
More.
Yeah, so streetscapes and improving sidewalks and improving all the safety of the downtown is extremely important to Greater Honesdale Partnership, and it just goes together with bringing economic vitality to town.
All right. And so let's talk a little bit about the revitalization efforts that you have going on. One of your major focus areas, what kind of changes or improvements are being made downtown, and how are local businesses responding?
Local businesses have responded very positively. Everybody is aware that it's been years and years since sidewalks have been improved. ADA is a really issue in downtown as far as being able to do strollers even or wheelchairs just with the uneven pavement. So the project would bring besides beautification, safety, and more walkability to town. And that's our main focus. So pedestrian safety has been an issue in town, just at the crosswalk. So all of these improvements will make it safer for drivers and pedestrians to be able to just walk freely in downtown and shop and enjoy the great restaurants and different opportunities in downtown. We've opened about 10 new businesses have opened in town in the recent months. So lots of new things going on in town. And we just want everybody to be safe when they're here visiting.
Right. How do you feel those changes are going? I mean, it is one of the, well, it's one of the longer, I would say, main streets in the area, but it's also pretty busy. How is that going in terms of like improving safety and pedestrian flow as well as traffic flow?
So part of the plan, which is almost completed, we have hired Woodland Design Associates, and they are doing a design all the way from 12th Street to 4th Street. And you're right, it's a very long street, so we'll certainly not be done, you know, all at one time. So we're going to start at 12th Street and move down. And a big part of it will be visibility at the intersection. So if you're trying to pull out onto Main Street because it's one way, sometimes you can't see when you're making that turn. So just making it visible, bringing the pedestrians out a little bit farther, mm-hmm. and some traffic calming elements will make it safer for both, again, yeah. drivers and pedestrians.
I will say, just from personal experience, that drivers on that street tend to slow down when they're going through. I mean, they are cognizant of the fact that there are pedestrians, not maybe not everybody, but it does feel like that people are taking caution when they drive through. So hopefully those efforts are sinking in a little bit. Let's talk a little bit more about Third Thursdays, that initiative there in town. How did that idea come about? It's really sort of like getting the whole town out on the streets, right, on Thursdays, Third Thursdays?
It is, and actually kind of started last year, just after our Girls Night Out last year. It was a great night. We had about 350 participants last year, and the businesses kind of came to us afterwards and says, you know, can't we do this more often? It's not something we could do every month, but we thought, well, let's try to find some things that we can do that would bring shoppers in. So we kind of got together with the businesses and decided on a third Thursday, a night that we try to stay open a little bit later, do some different events. We did do the macaroni and cheese crawl, which was very fun. A new thing. We just thought we would give it a try. And we did end up having about 100 participants for that activity. And 12, 15 stores, I think, ended up participating. So people came, they walked around, visited stores. Some stores, maybe they would have never walked in before. They walked in to get their mac and cheese and checked out what the stores have. It was a nice event, and that's really the goal of Third Thursday, is just to get people out shopping local, visiting our stores. And again, maybe some stores that you didn't even know were here, that could be great stores for you to visit regularly.
Keep missing these events. Mac and cheese crawl, is that coming back?
Yeah, probably next year. It's because of its popularity. So, and we have some different things. So, like, again, next Thursday is Girls Night Out, which is a huge event, and it's very exciting. So we do have 400 registered attendees. So the event is sold out.
Wow.
We have coming up then, we're looking at doing maybe an art walk, collaborating with the schools, having some of the students create some artwork and spreading that out through all the businesses so people can come and walk and shop and check out the art, different raffles and scavenger hunts and things like that, all kind of focused around, again, that third Thursday theme. Sidewalk sales is always a great event too in town, so we're going to wrap in a third Thursday with that event. So just lots of fun, different, exciting things to bring people down into downtown.
What kind of feedback are you getting from businesses and shoppers?
The businesses are very appreciative that we are trying new things and trying to bring some people in. Some events are over successful, like Girls Night Out, and some, you know, we try, and if they don't work out as great as we thought, you know, we'll definitely tweak them and try them again. But I know the businesses are appreciative to just bring people through their doors. If it's a Thursday night that's not normally a busy night, these kind of events kind of bring in some extra income for them for that night. And again, just different people to come into town that enjoy different things.
And if a listener or maybe a business owner who's listening wants to support what you're doing, how can they connect with the partnership and also get involved and learn more about the events?
Oh, absolutely. Our website is visithornsdalepa.com. We list all the events. We also list all of our members' events, so you can go on there and check out lots of different things that's going on in town, not just GHP events. So businesses are always welcome to share those with us, and we help share those out for them. And always welcome to give me a call. We're at 570-592-4953, I think. And but, yeah, membership is a benefit. New businesses that are moving into town all have reached out to me to try to be a part of the GHP, and we welcome everybody. That's what we're here for, to promote businesses individually and as a group for events. So anything that we can do to bring people into town, into their stores, that's what we're here for.
So we have a studio there at the Cooperage Project in Honesdale. So I'm over there on occasion to check in and make sure things are going. Also, I'll go to do a few errands while I'm in town. What do you want folks to know about the energy and momentum you're seeing in Honesdale right now? I've noticed some new businesses opening up. It seems like there's more people out on the streets. What do you want to share before we go?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. It is exciting, the new businesses that have been opening. I know we have a new gift shop. Last year we had the Dog Bakery. We have a couple of new restaurants, Samario's Pizza, and we have Taste of Puerto Rico. We have Jag's Bowl. I mean, just different variety of different things. There's a candy store coming. Just so many different variety of things to do. Great food, variety of food. I encourage anyone to come down and visit Honesdale and see all the new businesses. And those that have been here, staples for years and years and years, we have a great time here in Honesdale.
Sandy Levins, Executive Director of the Greater Honesdale Partnership. Having a good time. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Take a quick break and be back with more Radio Chatskill after this.
On the TED Radio Hour, Paleontologist Ken LaCavara says a spot in New Jersey sheds light on exactly what happened when an asteroid hit the Earth.
This makes this the best window on the planet into that pivotal calamitous moment that wiped out the dinosaurs and really made the modern world as we know it.
The day the dinosaurs died. That's next time on the TED Radio Hour from NPR.
Friday afternoon at 1 on Radio Catskill.
Hey, it's Francis Lam, host of The Splendid Table. This week, it's a live event from the beautiful Pacific Northwest. We're on stage in Seattle with native food experts, standard bearers for the city's incredible Vietnamese and Filipino food, chefs and bakers. It's coming up on The Splendid Table.
The Splendid Table, Sunday morning at 11 on Radio Catskill.
You're listening to Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno. On Sunday, President Donald Trump announced he had authorized imposing a 100% tariff on all foreign films. Filmmakers and local film commissions in New York say it's a bad idea and infeasible. From the New York Public News Network, WAMC's North Country Bureau Chief Pat Bradley reports.
The president says the movie industry in the U.S. is dying. He claims other countries are offering incentives that are, quote, propaganda and a, quote, concerted effort that is therefore a national security threat. He directed that a 100% tariff be imposed on all movies, quote, produced in foreign lands, unquote. Kingdom County Productions co-founder Jay Craven says the tariff would have a chilling effect on all filmmakers.
It will restrict the flow of films from other countries to this country. It will also put a penalty on filmmakers who want to shoot American films outside the United States. It will certainly result in fewer films getting made. It also is likely to trigger a retaliation for American films, including films by independent filmmakers, being able to access foreign markets, especially coupled with the recent cutbacks to the National Endowment for the Arts. It's really a turbulent time for the arts in general right now. Film in particular is such a precarious enterprise. What it takes to get a film made, cobbling the money together, trying to get it released, all of this is so difficult if you're working independently and outside the mainstream that this will only have a crimping effect.
Albany County Film Commissioner Debbie Gedeke says a tariff results in negative results regardless of the sector. As far as the film industry, she says new incentives should be created to make the U.S. competitive with other countries.
Look what they're giving away. It's a little bit less expensive to film. I think they give greater tax incentives. So all of that adds up to a film production. Anything that can cut their costs, especially now, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, they weren't so worried about location fees. But now, with the economy and everything the way it is, they're taking notice of any single thing that they can do to cut costs.
Mr. Scout, I know you're still weighing whether to return to Lumen. But the mark I've come to know is happy.
Hello, is anyone there? Is the board on? It's Mark S. from Macri.
With the popular Apple TV series Severance just one example, Gedeke notes that New York State has been successful in luring filmmakers by offering tax credits.
We had a banner year last year here in Albany with film productions, and a lot had to do with the film tax credits and the incentives that are available. And they came and shot in upstate New York. We had Paramount Pictures, HBO, and Hallmark, and they contributed significantly to the economy. So I think we have to look at ways to keep incentives here in the United States to keep people working, to add that economic impact to our communities. That's what I think we need to look at.
In addition to promoting the Adirondacks as a venue and assisting regional filmmakers, Adirondack Film shows a number of foreign films during its Lake Placid Film Festival and monthly series. Chair Gary Smith says the idea of a tariff is somewhat alarming and is curious how the value of a foreign film will be determined for a tariff.
30%
percent of our films that we show at the festival historically have been foreign films. One of the ones that technically was a foreign film that we showed last year was made in Germany, but it was about Nathan Farb. So that makes me wonder, is that a foreign film about a U.S. subject, or is it a U.S. film made by a German filmmaker? What are you really dealing with, and how do you place value on it, and how do you put 100% tariff on it?
President Trump authorized the Department of Commerce and Office of the U.S. Trade Representative to impose the tariff. The Associated Press reports that the White House said it was figuring out how to comply. I'm Pat Bradley, WAMC News.
Thanks to the New York Public News Network for that report. Now, the colorful, curious, and often comically unexpected world of Jeff George, a multimedia artist whose work stretches across paintings, prints, sculptures, and even large-scale murals across northeastern Pennsylvania. A resident of Honesdale, Jeff is known for turning the ordinary into the extraordinary. His pieces challenge convention and invite us to see everyday objects with fresh eyes, sometimes with a laugh. And right now, his new exhibition, Dent, is on display at the Wayne County Arts Alliance Gallery through June 14th, showcasing a quirky celebration of flora, fauna, and graphic storytelling. Culture reporter Valerie Manzi caught up with Jeff George recently.
Good morning, Jeff. And
good morning to you. Thanks for having me on.
So you have an event at the Wayne County Arts Alliance, which has an opening reception Friday, May 9th from 5 to 8. And the exhibit runs from May 8th through June 14th. It is entitled Dent. And it is a multimedia exhibit. So can you tell us a little bit about Dent and the meaning of the exhibit title?
Yeah, well, I'm not a wordsmith. I really believe that, you know, we all have sort of a job to do in life kind of thing. And there's a certain amount of work that I want to do in my life. And so Dent seems to be the perfect word for this show, because I'm just sort of putting a dent in that pile of work that I have to do. I may have another show called Dent 2. You know, that would be the second whittling away of it. But it's a mixed media show. I have paintings. I have sculpture work. I also have some stained glass pieces. I have watercolor. I have colored pencil. And I even have a scratch board in there. So it's quite a mix of things.
I read that one of your goals is to use common materials that folks are familiar with, but you hope to have them see those materials in a new way.
Exactly. I use quite a bit of, you know, antique pieces, and it's really like found object art almost. But I add, you know, new sculpted and carved pieces of wood to the sculptures, and I also add stained glass to the sculpture, so it doesn't have that overall I'm made out of scrap look. It has more of a kind of a mix of medium kind of thing. So I think people find that intriguing, but there's always somebody there that says, hey, is that off of an old plow? You know, they'll know what that piece is, you know, and they'll point it out, but most people don't know what the pieces are. So,
well, you know, it sounds like it engages the viewer to engage with the piece.
Yeah, I think it does. Also, I try to keep a lot of my work kind of on the lighter side. I have a history in children's book design and children's work. So you'll see, I tell people, I say, bring your kids, because they're going to find things that they're going to enjoy in the illustrations as well as the sculptures, and they'll find it interesting as well, you know. So,
yeah, I was reading that some of your work has been known to be of amusement to the audience.
It is, yeah. There, you know, I like I said, I like to keep it on the lighter side, and there's certain things I find funny that I put in the paintings, and people also find them funny. And a lot of times I'll look across the gallery at an opening or something, and I'll see somebody studying the piece, and they have a big grin on their face. And, you know, I find that, I mean, that's what art should be. It should be sort of enjoyable. It's for everybody, you know. Yes. It should be, everybody should find something that they like, you know. And I'm not going to say people, everybody's going to like everything I do. Even my wife finds some of the stuff she looks at. She's like, why'd you do that? You know, but, you know, the majority of the work, I think people will find interesting and humorous. So.
Well, a lot of us have seen your work because you have done most of the murals in Honesdale, correct?
Yeah, yeah. I've done quite a few of them. And in the surrounding Northeast Pennsylvania, there's a couple in Holly and Forest City, Urbandale, and yeah, that started a number of years ago, just helping some farmer friends out. They had gotten a grant from Penn State, and they called me up and they said, hey, we have a grant to do a mural. Can you help us do the mural? So I said, sure. And we did that mural. And then, you know, I find that anytime you're on the street doing a mural, you know, it's going to take 2 weeks. And in that 2 week time period, someone's going to come up to you and say, hey, can you come look at our wall, you know, or could you come look at our building, or do you have a card? Or so when I'm painting murals, I hand out more cards than when I'm doing anything else. So it's a popular thing right now.
Was there anything else you'd like to add before we conclude?
No, I have, like you said, the opening is this Friday, but the show actually opens on Thursday. And I'll be there, I think, Thursday morning, but we'll be there for the opening, and it's going to be for a month. So if you're in Honesdale and get a chance to check it out, that'd be great.
Thank you so much. And just as a reminder, the opening reception is Friday, May 9th from 5 to 8, and the exhibit runs through June 14th. Thank you for taking the time to speak with us.
I'm honored that you thought of me, and thank you very much for having me.
Thanks to culture reporter Valerie Manzi for that. And more information about the Jeff George exhibit is at WayneCountyArtsAlliance.org. And before we go, we are calling all creatives. We're inviting artists, illustrators, and designers across our listening region to submit original artwork for Radio Catskills' 35th anniversary T-shirt design contest. It's your chance to have your work showcased on the T-shirts worn by listeners, supporters, and fellow public radio lovers. The winning design will be printed and sold as official Radio Catskill merchandise, and we'll promote it on air on our website and across social media. The submission deadline is coming up June 6th, and we're looking for original line-based artwork that reflects the spirit of 35 years of public radio, Radio Catskill, local news, culture, and NPR. There's no fee to enter. You can get all the official rules and guidelines at our website, wjffradio.org, the 35th anniversary T-shirt design contest. Just click on the T-shirt that's on the right-hand side there of the website. And while you're there, please go to protectmypublicmedia.org to urge Congress to save public media. It's under multiple serious threats. You can act now by calling or sending an email to your congressman, protectmypublicmedia.org. That link is at our website, wjffradio.org. That's all for this edition of Radio Catskill. I'm Tim Bruno. Thanks for listening.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from the Narrowsburg Union and Catskills Curated, presenting products of regional artists, artisans, makers, and craftsmen. Gift wrapping and shipping available on site. NarrowsburgUnion.com. The Cooperage Project in Honesdale, dedicated to building community through performance, learning, markets, and good times. TheCooperageProject.org. And from listeners like you who donate at WJFFradio.org.
We're rattling along with our songs about animals on the Wacko Little Monkeys with me, Graham Rice, here on Radio Catskill. And next week, I bring you songs about chickens, cows, pigs and sheep. So join me, please, for songs about farm animals on Sunday afternoon at 3.
You're listening to Radio Catskill, local news, culture, and NPR. Today's forecast, rather cloudy with a couple of showers and thunderstorms possible this afternoon, high 65. We'll see a steadier rain overnight, which could impact the morning commute, a low of 49 tonight. Tomorrow, cooler with rain expected all day, breezy as well, high only 52, low 42. For the weekend, windy, a shower or two on Saturday, high 61, but warming up to 68, sunny and milder for Sunday. On Point is next.
WJFF Jeffersonville. From river to river, mountain to mountain, we are Radio Catskill.